folks who had these thought they were the epitome of class.
Yeah.
However, that class has not aged well.
No, it did not.
In fact, it aged so poorly that someone we work with just looked at Tommy Boulay and nailed this thing.
And this is out of the blue. The kid asked me a question.
Because there are some things you think when you say high end that actually make you look like massive trash. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF will jump right into it. So last week, Tommy's doing his laps in the hallway.
Yeah. Getting my steppers in.
And one of our engineers, his name is Dylan. He's been working with us less than a year.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Yeah.
Love this guy. Awesome. Very funny, laid back. He fits right in with the crew.
Yeah.
So you were walking past his office and he called you in.
Calls me in, and out of the blue he goes, "Hey, back in the day, did you own a waterbed?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And he goes, "Yeah, I thought so. You look like somebody that would have owned a waterbed." And I didn't know how to take that. And then we had like this 2-minute conversation about waterbeds. And then that was it.
But like he singled you out. Like he didn't ask anybody else.
No, they're like Spizzano's my age. There's other people in the building that are closer to my age.
But no. He just asked you.
You.
If you own a waterbed. I mean, Kimmy, he's only worked with us a few months.
Yeah.
It's not like he knows Tommy well, but he looked Tommy up and down.
That guy liked a waterbed.
That's a waterbed guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So I guess that means you put out a I've had a waterbed look.
A vibe.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Kimmy, we were around for the end of waterbeds.
Yeah, like we... Like, if you were a little kid, like, that was, like, the extra mattress somebody had in their house. Like, if you slept over to a friend's house.
Oh, I am. My buddy, I had a buddy whose parents, I almost said his name out loud. No, his parents had it as, like, their primary bed.
Oh, like, I remember it was always, like, in a guest bedroom or something.
I thought it was the coolest thing. Right?
I did, too, as a kid. I was like, this is fun. Okay.
But we weren't really conscious of what a waterbed meant when we were younger. Tommy, can I ask you some waterbed-related questions?
Yeah. Okay.
Did you think you were classy and high-end buying that waterbed?
Well, you thought you were cool.
Okay.
It wasn't a classy thing. It was a cool thing.
Okay, but you felt cool.
You felt cool.
Okay.
But then once you got it, you realize, man, this thing is not fun.
So it's just not functional.
Well, when you move, it just keeps moving, man. So like.
Who saw that coming?
Well, you don't think, but like when you're laying there, it throws your rhythm off, bro.
Wait, when you're J-O-ing?
Yes. Because it's like.
Stop that!
Like, oh my God, please stop.
You know, like when you're going, usually your body isn't, but now your body is like undulating, like on the ocean. It's like a deep swell in your body while you're trying to pull.
I would think it would affect you more like having sex.
Oh, he does. He didn't know anything about that.
I didn't think that.
So when you had
things.
Sex on a waterbed, you had to have it diagonally, not.
Because of the waves?
Yeah, so like, because you needed something to grip onto.
We had low tide, Kimmy.
Yeah. You don't want to bottom out.
Okay. So
it hurts your dong.
I would also like to apologize to everyone watching the live stream on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, I know, you got a show.
WCMF.com, YouTube, and Twitch. Break room, WCMF on YouTube and Twitch. Okay. As time moves on, there are some experiences or things that people believed made them look cool or classy that actually made them trash the entire time.
But these were status symbols.
Yes, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. They think classy, but it's actually trashy.
Trashy.
When I say they think classy, but it's actually trashy, what is the first thing that pops into your mind, whether it's from the past, whether it is from right now, whether it is something you also own that you thought was classy that made you super trashy?
So the other thing that, like, you were trying to look like you were big money back then, was the gigantic projection screen televisions.
Okay.
So that's where you had like this, basically like a movie projector, and then you had a screen you had to set up, and you had like this little apartment. It would take up half the apartment was this TV, and it just looked ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, I think, okay, that product, you're absolutely right. I think also the overspending on a place that can't house the thing you
have.
Yeah,
like, I knew guys that had massive stereo systems in dingy little apartments. Like, the apartment was cruddy, their job was cruddy, but they had, back then, $1,000 to $2,000 stereo system.
All right, Kimmy, they think classy, but it's actually trashy. When I say they think classy, but it's actually trashy, what is the first thing that pops into your head? While you are thinking, I'd like to throw one out.
Right.
You ready? Overnight casino trip.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There was a time.
There was a time.
Thank you. We're going to the casino for the night was all class. Like James Bond suit, all that good stuff.
Yeah, you may have rented a limo.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as casinos moved out of Vegas to cities across America and they became accessible to everyone, it has changed the game. And you see folks taking overnight trips to all kinds of casinos in our region, right? And they post pictures all night long and they talk about, like, you know, what a big deal they are. They act like a big shot. And don't get me wrong. It is fun to take an overnight trip to a casino.
Yeah.
Right? If you do it, you should not feel shame. But if you're posting that stuff, thinking that your overnight casino trip is impressing people, it's not. It's actually having the opposite effect.
What about limousines?
You think limousines are trashy?
Well, like, let's say you take a limo to the Bills game. That used to be a thing people would do.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking a limo to the strip clubs up in Canada, stuff like that.
Well,
do you think you look like you're big money in a limousine?
Ooh.
Or do you look like you have $80?
I can't tell you the last time I saw a limousine.
But limousines in this town was huge business.
No,
there must have been 10 companies, and you saw them all over town, especially in the summertime.
When I was 14, I had a friend that got a limousine for their birthday for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And like we drove all over the greater Rochester area to like get ice cream and burgers and stuff, and I thought that was the coolest thing, and I begged my dad, please, because I wanted to feel like big money.
Yeah.
And, like, of course, I'm not getting a limousine for 2 hours for my dad.
Because I can remember, like, people thought, like, there's somebody famous in there.
Yeah, every time I would think. Every single time.
In Chilai.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, Keith Hernandez could be signing autographs.
Could have been.
Dr. Leaf and Bean Coffee Company.
All right.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. You think classy, but it's actually trashy. Tommy got pegged as a guy who has a waterbed. Our engineer, who's worked with us less than a year, called Tommy into his office and goes, hey, let me ask you a question. Did you own a waterbed? And Tommy goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, you look like a guy that owned a waterbed. All right, can I throw another one at you?
Yeah.
Sure. Trip to Nashville.
Well, that's a big one right now.
Yeah.
Okay. You think it's
a big girl's trip.
No, I understand.
But do you go in thinking it's a classy trip because you're going to party? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think people see it as necessarily like an upscale, classy thing.
I would like to show you some pictures of women we know, Kimmy.
Yeah.
Based on outfits and what they're trying to set about.
But they're going to party. Like, they're going for that reason.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Look,
well, that would be like a trip to Vegas. Like, a Vegas trip used to be like a high-end thing. Like, my parents' generation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, going to Vegas was a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, it's just, you're just going to Vegas. Like, you could go to Nashville, or you could go to, like, Atlanta.
Well, that's just it. Like, as these trips become easier to do, like, all of a sudden when Nashville became this destination, every airline is offering one-way trips to Vegas, or, like, direct flights to Vegas, right? Like, Nashville. So, like, it used to be something that
big time
was a little harder to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
So, like, some of these trips, some of these excursions that kind of don't look as cool as they used to would be, like, Mardi Gras.
Oh, you think that's not as cool as it used to be?
Well, it's kind of grimy and gross.
But again,
like, New Orleans is kind of grimy and gross.
But it's always been grimy and
gross. Right, but
that's
like,
what I mean, like, you're kind of going there for the experience.
Yeah,
more
but
than
it's a
like
pit.
Anything.
It's the second time we've been crapping on Louisiana today.
We did?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
And we talked about a Louisiana theme bar.
Oh, yeah.
Sucks!
Yes.
252 WCMF, we started this conversation with waterbed. Let's talk to Frank. Hey, Frank, how are you, buddy?
As soon as you said waterbed, I went nuts. I started laughing. I live with a buddy of mine, in the late 70s, and he had a waterbed.
And you both could get on it, huh?
A buddy of his about a week to put it together upstairs in his bedroom. And I'll tell you, I picked up a girl, and come on, let's go over. My buddy's got a waterbed. Okay, you try screwing around on a waterbed.
It was brutal.
When you're high and drunk. It was crazy. I hate those goddamn things.
All you do is you pump once and just ride the wake for 10 minutes.
Yes.
It's like a speedboat going through a canal.
It was awful. It was awful. He thought it was so fun. And he never got a girl on his waterbed.
Well, you broke it in for him, Frank.
Thank God for Frank. Frank, thanks for the call, buddy. Good to talk to you. Have a good rest of the day.
So, one quick sidebar.
Yeah, no, you're fine, yeah.
So my brother had the biggest a-hole waterbed at the time. So he had a waterbed, and in the headboard, stereo.
Whoa!
Built into, like, your car. So it was an A-track with a receiver.
Okay.
And speakers built into the headboard.
That actually sounds awesome. I would like that now.
But that's about as trashy as it gets.
Wait, is that trashy? Because I want that. I want a headboard with a stereo, a Bluetooth, and all that.
Well, you look like a sad drug dealer.
That reminds me of like what every kid wanted in his car when we were teenagers. Like they'd install their own stereo system, which at the time we're like, wow, that's high end, that's classy. But looking back on it, it was like, no, you definitely didn't do that right.
I think anything you do as a teenager
to your own car
is trashy, but it's classy at the time. I think you're right. Like, you know, based on the money that you have.
Yeah, okay, what you dump into your car.
Maybe classy is the wrong word, but I don't think it was
Well, cool. Well, you're trying to look cool.
Like high end, yeah.
But I don't think it was trashy.
Like you had those high, huge speakers in your trunk.
The subwoofers in the box.
Well,
yeah,
when the speakers cost more than the car itself.
Yeah. No, it was very stupid. You could hear the trunk rattling.
Yeah.
All right, we got folks writing us on Instagram, 252-WCMF. Duffy on WCMF is the easiest way to get us on Instagram. Brian writes us. We ask, you think it's classy?
Yeah.
It's actually trashy. He says, muscle cars. You think people think you're cool, but you just look like a bad 80s music video.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, you still think muscle cars are classy?
Kind of, yeah. Well, they are called classic cars.
Okay, no, they're classic cars, not classy cars. Kimmy, is a muscle car classy?
You're talking about the old school ones.
I mean, I'm just going based on what Brian's talking
about. You look
like
you know what you're doing, and that thing's in, like really nice condition. Like, I don't see that as trashy.
I've been telling Kimmy there's a TV show I'm watching right now. It's only for my generation. I want her dad to watch it. It's on HBO Max. It's called Duster. And the lead character drives around in a completely jacked up Plymouth Duster. And he does burnouts and spinouts and stuff while he's doing all his business. It's awesome. But it's only for, like, and I go, that's cool.
Okay, so you're offended that Brian thinks muscle cars are trash.
If you had a Plymouth Duster, you're cool.
Like, bro, Plymouth Duster's kind of trash. If you're driving that as your everyday car, it's country.
Well, it's not your everyday car.
No, but what are you guys? Okay. Julie writes us on Instagram, getting the ladies involved. She says, houses that have marble anything. It's not functional. It's hard to maintain. You only did it to try and impress me, and it didn't work.
It looks a little gaudy.
Marble is trashy.
Depends, I guess, on how much you got going on.
Yeah, well, I have marble in the house.
So. So you would agree, Kimmy, that marble is trash?
I think like what she's describing is like the when everything's made out. As much marble packed
Kimmy
in there
says
as they
you
can.
Trash.
No, like I'm picturing like the house that you used to live across the street from and what.
Oh no, not you, Tommy. Other marble houses.
Oh, the Soprano house.
Yeah. Like
that thing was solid
dated
marble.
Look. Yeah.
Even the wife's ass was marble.
Go after you. I'm sorry.
There is one that I think comes and goes with time. And that's tattoo placement and type of tattoo.
Okay.
Because I think there are periods of time where, like, somebody will get a tattoo in a certain place and think it's, like, a classier tattoo based on what it is and where it is. And then as that ages over time, it doesn't look as cool anymore.
Okay, what's the one that pops in your head?
Well, I'm just thinking, like, I remember somebody I knew.
No, nobody thought that was classy.
Well, they
looking above the crack of my ass.
Yes.
Like class about the crack of my ass.
The one I'm thinking of is a foot tattoo.
No, I'm just thinking of that one.
Somebody that got like a tribute to a family member on the foot.
On the foot?
Yes. Which, again, like I guess at the time I was like, oh, that's really nice. That's cool. But now like looking back, you're like, why did you get it on your foot?
You're lucky you had an operation.
So I knew this chick, family had money, like, you know, really high end. When she turned 18, she went and got a foot tattoo. It was in cursive and French. It was the good life in French on her foot. And, like, she thought it was the classiest thing ever.
At the time, like, that was, like, the unique spot to get it.
But the foot tattoo aged so poorly because now you just have some words coming out of your shoe.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It looks like a bruise. I'll tell you one thing that did not age well and didn't last long back in the day. Were those gigantic satellite dishes people bought.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I'm talking
about the ones like
see, like, Channel 10.
Yeah, it looks like Ted Turner's broadcasting the Braves game
but
to your house.
People would have those in their backyard and stuff, and they had, like, a remote so you could move it around. It was on, like, a motor and stuff. 5 years, they were gone.
There is a dude on English Road, and I haven't been out there in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. That's where my grandparents lived. Still had it.
Probably too expensive to remove.
And so I think a lot of them are still there. Like, I've seen houses around where I live. You could see it in the backyards, and you still see one, like, on a pole or something every now and then. And you just got to figure, nobody's using it, but nobody wanted to remove it.
All right, if there was one man that knows trashy, not classy, there's one guy.
Oh, yeah?
It'd be our good buddy, Party Boat Mark. Hey, Mark, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Good morning, Kimmy. So, mirrors were so classy, And now they're so mirrors everywhere. Now this is going to sound pretty bad, but I had mirrors above my ceiling.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
So you had a mirrored ceiling in your bedroom.
I did, yeah. So, and here's
yeah, he'd
the
wake up and look like a can of biscuits went off.
I did it myself, and I bought these beveled 1-foot beveled mirrors, and I just put them on my liquid nail, and a couple of them fell off.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
A slice up in your crank.
Yeah. So I had two of them fall off, you know, during but yeah, it was funny. Yeah.
So hold on. Let me ask you a question.
DIY ceiling mirrors
with glue.
Yeah. So you got you're laying in bed, you could look up at yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you're rubbing one out, you just you've got an aerial view of your JO session.
It was pretty cool back in the day. I'm going back, 30 years.
I have never looked cool playing with myself ever.
I don't. You need to get mirrors or anything. Maybe you. Maybe
what did you wave to yourself and like point like what you're doing? Hey, look at me! I'm doing it.
It's like a Predator or the Darien Lake in the picture at the end.
I thought I was the coolest guy with those mirrors on the ceiling. Yeah, man.
I love how that's so trashy. We haven't even made fun of the fact that he had a party boat and thought that was cool. Yes.
There was nothing but class with that boat.
Mark, always great to talk to you, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Talk to you, buddy.
Mirrors.
Why would any man want women they're having sex with to have the ability?
But that was the thing. So they built, back in the day, I can remember, new condos in Florida that had mirrored ceilings in the bedroom. Like, that was a selling point.
Well, I remember in a lot of old houses, too. Like, why were all the dining rooms just complete mirrors?
Because it made the room look bigger.
Oh. It was an Italian thing.
Yeah. And very much so.
You guys, they made it look like you had like fungus on the mirrors
too. Yeah,
yeah. Like
they had like gold trim. Yeah, ugly as crap.
All right, we are super late, everybody. I appreciate all the messages and everything. We got to move on. This, a complete accident.
Yeah.
No ill intent, obvious embarrassment, bad situation, but not on purpose. However, doesn't make it any less dangerous.
Oh.
And if you were to walk out into your front lawn and find this sticking out of your mailbox.
Sticking out of my mailbox.
You'd have a decision to make.
Okay.
A decision that could affect how things go from this point on with not only this neighbor, but a bunch of people you live around.
So who was messing with my box?
You're hanging out in the break room. Watch this Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. You feel like taking a trip out to Seneca Falls?
Yeah, nice area.
Okay. That's where we find a resident who walked outside and found sticking out of their mailbox an arrow.
Wait. Like a bow and arrow?
Like an arrow from a bow and arrow, but
like
it
was stuck in there?
Stuck in the mailbox.
Okay.
Man, that's about as country as it gets, man.
By the way, the mailbox, it says in the story, was attached to their home. So,
that's
right. So it was aimed at it hit the house.
Okay. Yeah. So it would be a little confusing, right? Like, did you piss off Robin Hood?
Yeah, no kidding.
So it turns out that a 33-year-old man from a street over, according to police, had been practicing with his crossbow.
Wait, this is the second one of these crossbow things.
Yeah, we had that one out in Greece that hit that dog.
Yeah.
So he missed his target, and apparently, according to police, the arrow ended up in this house's mailbox.
So it's evident he needs more practice.
Yes, and it apparently traveled like across the street.
Yeah.
So,
God damn.
By the way, they did a whole police investigation to figure that out. I would think guy with crossbow, arrow.
Yeah.
Okay. But the whole thing was an accident.
All right.
This man did not mean to arrow their box.
All right.
Despite that, the 33-year-old was arrested, charged with reckless endangerment, unlawful possession, and use of firearms, amongst other things. We did find out a couple of years ago, a crossbow, a firearm, considered a firearm. So that guy has a court date coming up. Tommy?
Yeah.
In this case, the homeowner came out to find an arrow in their mailbox. And you understand why, not knowing where it came from, they called the police.
Yeah.
But let's say the shooter got there first. Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
You hear a noise. You walk outside?
Yeah.
You see an arrow in your house. As you are trying to figure out what happened, one of your neighbors is running down the street. I'm so sorry. I was practicing my crossbow. This one got away from me. Please forgive me. I cannot believe I did this. I am so embarrassed. Let me pay for any damage that just happened.
All right.
Arrow in your house. Are you calling the police?
If I can keep this away from my wife.
Oh.
It doesn't alarm you at all.
It does.
Yeah.
But I don't want to escalate the situation. I don't want my wife to find out about it.
Now, when you say escalate the situation, I don't know how higher it can be escalated than arrow out of
your house.
It's like you're, what are you, on a wagon train?
No, but like my wife will flip out.
Yeah.
This one's
cops,
justified.
Sheriff, yeah. FBI, fingerprints,
I don't think
electric chair.
I don't think, minus the electric chair, I don't think any of that other stuff is like an inappropriate response.
I know, but look.
You have grandkids now. You got a dog you got to worry about.
I know, I know.
And the other story had a dog getting hit. The dog died.
I know. I know.
You're not calling the cops.
I will have to if my wife. I would try to bury it.
But if you were single Tommy.
Oh, single Tommy, I'm burying it. Like if that has happened in Webster, I'm just letting it go.
Why?
I mean, especially the guy effed up and he knows it. I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
If I see him out there again with it, I'm calling the cops.
But then it's too late.
No, if he's out there again jacking around with his bow and arrow.
Yeah, but I mean, but you didn't call when the arrow went in the first time, and now what are you going to call and say he's out there with his
crossbow?
He's got a firearm.
Kimmy?
Yeah. No, this one, I'm normally like, I'll stay out of it, but this one would piss me off just because.
It would improve your porch. It's finally decorated with something.
Shut up. Just
hang a little flag on it.
Don't you talk about my porch.
Put like one of those bang flags on it.
An arrow says bang?
Yeah, I'm gonna, you know.
No, but it comes out of the gun.
It out.
No, the arrow, it's not an arrow. An arrow goes.
Because here's the thing. I can already picture this person in my mind.
Yeah.
And this is also
a neighbor. Used to work in the B.
This is also a neighbor who probably does other annoying things. Like this neighbor goes beyond crossbow practice. Either they do that often and it's already pissed me off and now this is the final straw. Ooh. Or they're just like a reckless person who I at some point I'm like, you know, eventually that's going to start to affect other people, and now it does, and now I'm absolutely calling the cops.
Okay, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. There are a couple of things you got to consider here.
What's that?
Right, again, we're talking about this 33-year-old man. He was arrested after police say during crossbow practice in Seneca Falls in his yard, one of the crossbow arrows got away from him, ended up sticking into his neighbor's mailbox, which was attached to their house. The neighbor came out to find it, called the police for an investigation. The guy was arrested. But if this neighbor gets to you first, are you calling the police? As far as calling the police goes, you have to consider, first off, your personal relationship with this neighbor.
Okay.
Right? If you call the cops, that person is going to hate you forever.
Yes.
Right? Because their argument is it's going to be, it was an accident.
Right.
And even if they're not violent, depending on where they live in proximity to you, it can make your life very uncomfortable.
Yes.
But at the same time, you also have to worry about your other neighbors. Because let's say you go with your single Tommy plan,
mm-hmm.
and you let the guy off the hook. No cops, he pays you, fixes whatever, you leave it at that. When the rest of the people that live around you find out what happened, which they will do based on ring cameras, they are going to be upset with you for not calling
the
cops.
I know, and I wouldn't even think of that at first anyway. That wouldn't even dawn on me.
Because, like, what do you say when your next-door neighbor comes over and goes, wait a minute, Dan hit your house with an arrow?
And you didn't say anything.
You know Dan is Dan.
And
Danny Arrows.
Danny
Arrows. Quills.
Well, I mean, if we knew his name was Danny Quills the whole time.
And wouldn't you feel a little guilty if, you know, further down the road, like, God, that arrow does hit somebody or something, or, you know, do more damage, and you didn't say anything the first time?
But I got a lot of that stuff in my life. It just kind of builds up. After a while.
Yeah, but not a lot of things can kill people. Arrow can kill people.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess it comes down to safety versus personal relationships.
Because
you'd like to think, if you let this guy just go home with his arrow, that he's never going to do anything stupid like this again. But you can't be sure.
No,
that is
because
true.
Now you kind of just rewarded him for his bad behavior because you're not going to do anything about it.
But then, Kimmy, you'd like to think the police getting involved would be more likely to keep him from doing this again. But if you have to live next to this person for 10, 15, 20 years.
That's hell.
Right? And then you have the potential for their friends in the neighborhood to get upset with you because you called the cops on them when, you know, Danny Quills is just a little oopsie daisy.
Yeah, right? You never know how this is going to break.
Whatever happens, whatever you do, it will cause a schism in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That was begun with just a shot of an arrow.
Yes.
Much like many wars of the past. 252-WCMF, 252-9263, 33-year-old man arrested. After police say he accidentally shot an arrow from a crossbow into his neighbor's mailbox that was attached to the home. We got Instagram messages coming in. Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. Adam says, if there are kids in the neighborhood, you have no choice. You have to call the police.
Yeah.
That arrow could have ended up in a much worse place. I get the point Adam is trying to make.
Yes.
But it is a little bit funny that he only considers kids. Like you'd
not
be
like, yeah, anybody.
You'd be okay if that arrow ended up in the shoulder of a 47-year-old.
Well, I mean, of course, it'd be terrible.
No, you're not a kid. Don't be a bitch. Pull the arrow out and keep moving. Keep walking your dog. I mean, that's kind of what he's saying here.
Yeah, just worry about the kids.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's Steve over there. He's been hit with a couple arrows.
Well, there is a pecking order to like people.
People what? Getting hit by arrows?
Yes.
Okay, I would like, if I'm going to run for office, if I'm running for office, I'm going to run on the no one gets hit by arrows ticket.
I'm not saying nobody should get hit, but there's like, oh my God, and then there's, oh, that sucks.
Yeah, there is no one you can find out no. in your life.
Or you wouldn't feel sorry that they got
hit. No.
But there's shock, and then there's, oh, that's terrible.
Just the fact that an arrow hits someone is shock.
It is, but it depends on that person's title.
Name me a person in your life. If you find out they got hit by a rogue arrow, you'd be like, oh, yeah, you know.
Mother-in-law. There's a lot of mother-in-laws
you'd still,
that are on, very low on total.
No, you would still gasp if you found out your mother-in-law got hit by
my first mother-in-law? Yeah, I mean, it'd be terrible, but.
No, it doesn't sound like it'd be terrible based on what you just said.
I wouldn't be like, oh, my God.
Is that the way you said terrible? Are there a lot of crossbowers? What do you call a crossbow enthusiast?
I think you nailed it, crossbow.
Crossbowers? Yeah. I mean, in the greater Rochester area, I mean, this is our second story now that we've seen where the crossbow arrow has gone off target. And again, these are just the ones we hear about. I guess when we're having this conversation, it's also possible some folks, if it happens, look the other way.
Yeah.
Are these new crossbowers?
Apparently, because you can't hit the target.
Well, not just that. The fact that you're practicing in proximity to other people.
And you should know not to do that. So you've got to be new.
I mean, there are. Well, I mean,
or you just don't care.
Well, we've also talked about, Kimmy, the longer you do something, the less likely you think it is that something horrific happens.
You start getting sloppy.
Yeah, it's why
you start getting a little too comfortable.
That's why you see those guys that have owned boats for 30 years end up in the lake bobbing.
True.
Right? When they send the Coast Guard out to get them. I mean, let's say you came home today to see your neighbor walking in with a brand new crossbow. Is that enough to make you nervous?
Yeah, he's 82. I hope he's not going to end his life with that thing.
Kimmy, what a terrible way. How would you even do
that? He's old
that?
School.
Jeez.
I wouldn't know what the hell he'd be doing with it.
Do I need a license to buy a crossbow? Is it like a, because it's a firearm.
Well, if it's a firearm, I would think so.
Well, no, but it's, I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, do I have to, like, go through, like, a background check?
For a bow and arrow.
Well, no, it's not a bow and arrow. It's a crossbow.
Is that for all, is that, like, for, like, a standard bow and arrow?
I don't know.
Because there's those fancy hunting ones.
Seems like, you can purchase a crossbow without a specific license.
Oh, okay.
But to hunt with it, you need a license.
Okay, gotcha. Jacob writes us, here come the hunters. Mm. Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. If you can't hit a damn target and you don't have a backdrop or a stop to sell the damn bow, you don't deserve to have it.
You dope.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I think that's what would be more concerning for me. Like, if it's a guy or a woman that looks like they hunt, they're very outdoorsy, like, this is just, you know, another thing that they're adding to their hobby, it may not alarm me as much as a guy who looks like he's just getting into this for the first time.
Because, like, you can tell in someone's garage if they're a hunter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Screams like, hunter.
Yeah, you can just look inside. I mean, we're getting a ton of hunters now writing that every one of them, I mean, Adam specifically writes that there is no excuse, accident or not, no excuse of recklessness when it comes to all weapons. Use it responsibly and what happens regardless. I mean, it is interesting that you, not in this world, are going to bury this thing, thing, where guys who are in this world, men and women, want that person held responsible.
Well, yeah, because it makes the all hunters look bad. I mean, it hurts their community.
Okay,
I get it. I'm not of that, so, you know.
No, but I would argue when there's arrows flying around your actual community, that also potentially hurts your community.
I know.
I don't think you do.
Just let your mother-in-law go out the door first.
All right, let's take a break. There's a couple of weird things going on in this story.
What happened?
First of all, you probably shouldn't criticize a team that just dominates you every time you play as both a team and an individual player. Second, with all the drama that was revolving around him with his own team at the end of the season last year, not to mention some glaring issues in his past, maybe the attention is bad for him, but most importantly, how do you criticize someone for doing something that's effective?
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. In my humble opinion, one of the biggest jerks in the NFL would be Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
And he's that little guy, super fast, played for the Chiefs at one point, big trade to the Dolphins. This was going to be the start of something huge for Miami. It hasn't been.
And he's had a lot of problems on and off the field Since college.
So the big one back in college, if you want to Google it, because it's too horrific to get into, you know, it's a whole thing. For some reason, the NFL has decided they were going to try and rehab his image.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they put him out as this charming guy, and that's what he was doing over the weekend.
Oh.
Before we get to that,
yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Tariq Hill completely un...
Yeah, it looked like he was on, like, a party bus or something.
And there was a video.
Yeah.
And someone with a camera asked him how he felt about Bills fans. And Kimmy, this is what he said.
He basically said, when he was in Kansas City, it was always F the Bills. Every time we played against them, and we beat them every time. But in Miami, it's the same thing, too, but, like, 10 times harder. It's F the Bills all day. All they want to do is jump through effing tables because they got effing CTE, stupid-ass fans. The fans are stupid AF.
Okay.
So it doesn't like us.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like us.
All right, that's fine, I guess. Like, no big deal. It's a stupid thing to say into a camera, I would say, right?
Just okay. Kind of like, hey, man, it's off season. Like, you can relax a little bit.
Well, Kimmy, it seems like the Bills are on his mind a lot.
Yeah.
Because over the weekend, he was at Fanatics Fan Fest. It was a big sports memorabilia festival.
Okay.
And he took a shot at how the Bills as a team play him. Quote, whenever we play the Bills, those guys typically play cover four because they're a bunch of bitches. Cover four is when you keep four defenders back, so you can't hit on long runs, right? He's a very fast guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you do it because it works.
Yeah, makes your job harder, which is the goal.
So, Tariq Hill, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, has played 6 games as a Miami Dolphin against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
In half of those games, he's had less than 40 yards receiving.
So they bottled him up every time?
Every single time. As a member of the Miami Dolphins, he has had 2 touchdown receptions in 6 games. The best game he's ever had against the Bills was the winner-take-all for the AFC East, 7 catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown, a game that they lost to have to then go to Kansas City and get their asses kicked.
Was that that one where everybody was freezing to death?
Yes, yeah, the one where the helmet pieces came off. I don't understand this at all.
I don't know. See, like, why all of a sudden, too? I don't really remember him when he was in Kansas City or anything going off on the Bills so often.
Well, he did that peace thing when he scored that touchdown in that 13 seconds game before the Bills came back and scored again.
Yeah.
You remember what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know. I don't try and figure out what goes on in this guy's head.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
It seems like now you're like a sore loser.
But like, even being a sore loser makes sense.
Yeah.
What really bothers me here, how can you criticize a team for doing something that works and works unbelievably well?
Well, that's, it's got to be eating away at him.
Okay.
Guys,
that he can't figure it out.
Like, the Dolphins, with Tariq Hill on that roster, the Dolphins have beaten the Bills 1 time, and it was that fluke super hot game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, everybody was dying.
Okay. You are 1-5 against the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, like, work on, like,
you're
fixing it?
1-5 against the Buffalo Bills on a team where every time they tried to do something to, like, talk crap on the Bills, it slapped them right in the face in the end.
I wish it
like
were colder.
Like, the t-shirts.
Yep, I wish. The emoji.
Yeah, the emoji thing. Like, hey, maybe that, the trash talk isn't working for you.
That's a great point, Kimmy.
Just a thought.
Every time
you got embarrassed every time.
Great point. And he's got to come back to Buffalo now after all those things he said about Bills fans and how they play cover four against
him. Yeah, true.
I doubt Sean McDermott's the guy that's like, I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you just run free. And also, for those who don't know, again, talking about Dolphins wide receiver Tyreek Hill, makes more statements about the Bills about how much they suck, even though it's working. At the end of last season, he said that he didn't want to be a member of the Miami Dolphins anymore.
That's, I think, what confuses me the most, because he doesn't seem like he's a very passionate member of the Miami Dolphins. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't seem like a guy at this point who's all about the franchise.
He walked off the field before the game was over in their last game.
Yeah.
Wide receiver Jaylen Waddle is caught on a live mic going, where are you going? He then said that he didn't want to be there anymore to the reporters after the game.
Yeah.
He then had to have a sit-down powwow with Coach Skateboard, as you like to call him, Mike McDaniel, where Mike McDaniel would come out like, I talked some sense into him. And Tariq was like, yeah, I want to stay.
It's amazing because that town fits him. Like, the way he likes to party, the way he drives, the way he carries himself, I thought he would just love being in Miami.
Well,
it would, like, because I looked like, to me, Kansas City would bore him.
Yeah, but he also went from a team that won to now a team that he walked in thinking it would be that
he was going to make him a winner,
and it wasn't.
Well, look, they're really good at beating up bad teams. They play anybody of any salt, and the Dolphins can't do crap.
Yeah.
But you had a theory a couple years ago that I laughed at.
What was that?
That as we see this Tariq Hill Dolphins career playing out makes sense. that they will never win in Miami.
It's too much fun. There's too many distractions. It's a party town.
It's a valid...
It's an international party town now. And, you know, and you got all this money, you're young, go have your fun. Buy a fast car, get a boat, get the girls, get the drugs, get the booze. Everything's party down there.
Then how'd Miami... Too much fun. How'd the University of Miami do so well playing football all those years?
I mean, that was a... They were kids, and it's easier to control a kid than an adult.
Okay.
And... Jimmy Johnson had a philosophy, it just win, right? You know?
Yeah.
He didn't really care how it happened.
So I think as we wrap this conversation up, the most interesting part about it is if Tariq Hill had just gotten to Miami and started running his mouth, all right, I get it, you're trying to inspire your team. If you're halfway through and you feel like you're right there, because there's been a lot of close games with the Dolphins, I understand that. The Dolphins roster is effed.
Oh, right now?
They should have fired their head coach at the end of last season. He's had two first-round playoff exits for all the bluster and talk and all that stuff that he brought through. It has not been successful. They're going to have a terrible season.
Oh, really?
They're going to take a step back. They're not going to make the playoffs. So for you to say this now, and like this dude's been in the league now for almost a decade.
Yeah.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
He's aware of this. Shut up, man. For the sake of your own reputation, I guess, which may not matter to you all that much based on your past.
Seem with all the problems he's had.
Okay. Let's take a break. All right.